And we're gonna be traveling through some Bible today, but I don't know what to do with this message. I really don't know, and we're going to pray that the Lord will bless it. But there's just some things we need to talk about. We're going to start in Mark chapter number 7. And begin in verse 31 in just a second. But let's go ahead and pray again and ask the Lord to bless it, because I'll be honest with you, we need Him to show up and do something. Father, here we are meeting together trying to get something from You, not from me or man's knowledge or man's wisdom, Lord, but You would give us something from Your Word, no matter how disjointed it might be on my end today, Lord, that You would bless it and breathe on it and use it to help us. And come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Mark chapter number 7, beginning in verse 31, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring into him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude," it was personal, amen, "and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." Mark chapter number 8. You flip over there, in Mark chapter number 7, we see Jesus heals the deaf and the dumb. And, you know, we oftentimes are criticized for saying, we don't believe in faith healing. No, we don't. It's not that we don't believe in faith healing. We don't believe in faith healers. I don't believe Benny Hinn's healing everybody, and I don't believe all that stuff. True healers in the Bible, Jesus Christ Himself, remember, He didn't have any misfires. He healed everybody that He wanted to heal. And He didn't pay people to fall over and flop around and all that stuff. We believe in healing. God still heals people. Praise the Lord, He'll heal you spiritually and send you to heaven, amen? Or bring you to heaven, amen? But He still heals today. I mean, we still see occasion where the doctors say, this is impossible, that's impossible, the other's impossible, and then the Lord just does what they call impossible, and they have to look to Him and say, well, praise the Lord, God must have done it. Even atheists sometimes will say, well, God must have done it, because they may not say it out loud, but in their heart they know, amen, and God will do that. And we've all known people that, you know, well, you'll get your house in order, you got 3 months, and 8 years later they're giving them a new diagnosis, amen, because God heals. And maybe He doesn't even completely heal some of these people, just carry them through. Why would He do that? Because when I am weak, then am I strong. It shows the strength of God. But looking here in chapter number 7 of Mark, He heals the deaf and the dumb. In chapter number 8, verse number 22, "And He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him, and besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when He spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." Now we know God heals the deaf and the dumb in chapter 7, and He heals Jesus Christ, God Himself, in the flesh, heals the blind man in chapter number 8 of the book of Mark. You notice what something about that healing in the book of Mark in chapter number 8 for the blind man? He restored his vision, and then he improved his vision. You know what he's seen after that? He said, I saw men as trees. Now, we can get into a study on men and trees and all that, and that's an interesting study. But what he's saying in this particular instance is he can't see them real defined. Probably couldn't tell them apart. But then he says, after the Lord made him look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now look, when you're saved, God gives you new vision. He opens up your eyes to things you couldn't see before. And when you go to church and study and pray and read your Bible and listen to the preaching of the Word of God and listen to rightly dividing the Word of God and get soaked the Word of God in, and you start to see things clearly. But you know what he had to do before he could see things clearly? He had to look up. This is how we look up. We can look down and look up. We can look down in this Bible and look up at the Lord. Amen? But he healed the deaf, he healed the dumb, he heals the blind. Look at Luke chapter number 6. New Testament. I'm joking with y'all. I know you knew that. Luke chapter number 6. Jesus healed the deaf. He healed the dumb. Healed the blind. Luke chapter number 6, verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." I want everybody to see this, right? That's what he's saying. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them, looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So Jesus healed the blind, he healed the deaf, he healed the dumb, he heals the hand. Look at John chapter number 5. In John chapter number 5, beginning of verse number 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir," this is where he's trying to get in the troubled water so he can get healed, and no man would help him. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So now, Jesus healed the deaf and the dumb. He healed the blind. He healed the man's hand. Now he heals the man's feet. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Way over to your left of Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35, Matthew 9:35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now we see Jesus heals the deaf, heals the dumb, heals the blind, heals the man's hand, heals the feet. And he heals all manner of diseases. And they're seeing this. Why is he doing this? Because he loves people. Okay, I'll go with that. But the Jews require a sign. He's dealing with the Jews, and he's doing these miracles in front of the Jews to show that he is who he says he is. Now, we could look at these passages, which has been done by preachers over the years, and I've done it myself, and we could do it again, and we could say, "Well, you're deaf and you can't hear the things of God till you get saved and God will open your ears." Amen? "Oh, you're dumb. You don't know how to speak right until God touches your tongue and God will give you the right words. God will guide your lips." Praise the Lord for when He guides our lips. don't know about you, I guide mine the wrong direction sometimes. You ever, once you let that thing out, well, the cattle's out of the gate now. It's hard to get it back in. You can't undo what you say. Sometimes it's a mess. But Jesus can make you hear things right. He can make you say things right. He can lead you to say things right. And boy, he gives you new vision. You're blind. And, you know, like it talks about Israel, blind in part until the fullness of Gentiles become in. Lost people are blind to the truth. So he can heal your eyes. He can make you see things right. You read your Bible, he'll make you see things right. You look around the world. I'll tell you what you'll do when you look around the world. When you're reading and studying your Bible and praying, you'll start seeing things for what they are. You'll start seeing all men are sinners. And it's better to trust the Lord and put confidence in man. Amen? Oh, and the hands, the things you do, the works of your hands, God can fix that. I don't know about you, before I got saved, I did some bad works. But God gave a new purpose for my hands to do good works. That's what your purpose is, a saved person, to do good works. So you can say, well, you know, the Lord, he can help you hear, he can help you talk, he can help you see, he can help you do good works. You get over to John chapter 5, boy, he heals the man's feet. You know what he can do? He can make you walk right. He can lead you so you can walk right. And that'll preach, you know. Boy, the Baptists, they need to learn that the God can help them walk right. Amen. And that's all good stuff. No matter what your problem is, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9 healed all manner of diseases. No misfires. What's that mean? Whatever problem you have, if you still have it, it's not the Lord's fault. Because he can fix it. Now we could stop there and go to an altar call and then call it quits, but there's 45 minutes before the chicken's done, so you're just going to have to listen to me for a while. But the truth is, all these things can practically and spiritually be applied to us, but I want you to turn to Psalm 15, 115. Turn to Psalm 115. You ever heard the, well, you know, get this book or this tape and make the Bible, it will come alive to you because you're getting somebody else's opinion on what the Bible says? Let's look at what the Bible says. You want it to come alive to you? Let's see what the Bible says, amen? In Psalm 115, I wanted to claim this verse, number one, as my life verse at one time, but I'm not worthy of this verse. But man, this is a verse. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Isn't that a good verse? That's got more weight on it than, oh man, not unto us, Lord. It's all about you, about your mercy, about your truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he pleased, hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. There's the Republicans, amen. Oh, that'll stir you up. I'm sorry. But that's what it is. It's silver and gold. That's what the world's trying to fix right now is the silver and gold. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. And neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He says, there are these false gods, these idols that men set up that they make with their own hands. You know what men do? They make their gods up with their own hands. You know what their man's god is today? It's their own works. The works of their hands. That's their god. What I can do instead of what Jesus Christ did and what God the Father sacrificed. Then he talks about these idols. They have mouths that don't speak, eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, noses that don't smell, hands that don't handle, feet that don't walk, and they can't speak through their throat. Then he says this in verse 8, they that make them are likened to them, so is everyone that trusts in them. But the interesting part, look what he says in verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You know why? Because Israel took on all those false gods. And Israel developed their own system of religion without God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, that started before Romans, by the way. It started in the Old Testament. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Turn back over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. So God in the Old Testament is telling Israel, hey, you're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb, your works are messed up, your feet are messed up, your words are messed up. In John chapter number 5, we read in verse 7 through 9, he healed the man's feet. And in verse number, we'll start in verse number 9 again. It says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Look at this. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. So you know what the man's saying indirectly? If God made me whole, God's right telling me to walk with the bed. You know what Jesus said? That he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He decides what's right or wrong on the Sabbath, not them. You know why? Because they were a bunch of devil-filled hypocrites. They were of their father, the devil, the lust of their father they would do, and they were hypocrites because if something was going to cost them financially, they would do it on Saturday, do it on the Sabbath, to stop them from losing something that was going to cost their flesh. But when the Lord helped somebody out, they were complaining about it. When he did these miracles, remember, we talked about this in Sunday school, in the book of Matthew, his ministry was to the Jews. He didn't do these miracles for you and me. He did these miracles for the Jews. Now, we can glean from it, and we can spiritually apply it, and practically apply it, and praise the Lord, we can get something from it. But you know what he did? These healings and these miracles were prophetic. Because all the things that God listed as wrong with Israel, he's going to fix them at his second coming. You know what he was telling the Pharisees? I can heal your eye problem. I can heal your ear problem. I can fix that problem with your tongue. To the nation of Israel, he's preaching it through these signs. I can fix your works. I can heal your walk. Whatever problem is, with all manner of diseases, I am the one that can fix it. And they put him on a cross and crucified him. Those healings are going to testify against Israel in the tribulation. Because those were signs to the Jews. And we like to take everything and, of course, we're kind of narcissistic in America anyway, right? It's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. And it's all about the church. It's all about Jesus Christ. Praise God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know where I'm going. I'm glad the Lord sealed me and I don't have to worry about the devil taking it or me giving it up. But he came to be Lord of lords and King of kings. He came to sit on the throne of David and rule and reign in Jerusalem. And they rejected him after he preached these signs to them. The Pharisees were there all along the way, and they were ridiculing, mocking, as he gave them chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. Isn't that interesting? Because we don't think of that. We read these miracles, and we apply them to us in the church and say, well, and God is good, and God heals. But he preached a ministry from his birth to his crucifixion to the Jews. And I believe, we've talked about this before, the Jews say the New Testament doesn't belong They mock it. They ridicule it. They don't want to hear the truth of Isaiah 53, that being Jesus Christ and all that. But it's not just James and Romans chapter 11 and Hebrews and Revelation, but the miracles that you find in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are going to preach the truth to the Jews in the tribulation. I believe that. They're going to go, wait a minute. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He healed the maimed. The lame. He did all these things. You know what they already know? They already know what he told them in the Old Testament. They already know he knocked Dagon's head off, the false god in the temple. They already know that God the Father accused them of the same things God the Son was accusing them of through these miracles, rejecting the truth. You're not going to find any Jew that doesn't agree that God has warned them and God has scolded them and God has chastened them as a nation. First Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You want some wisdom? Okay, the signs were for the Jews. God did this to wake up the religious crowd. Now, we can practically and spiritually apply that today, because you know what we need today more than anything? If anything's going to go the right way for the Lord's sake, for the cause of righteousness and truth, the religious crowd needs to wake up and realize that they are blind, deaf. You know what the Bible says? Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Their eyes are wrong. Their ears are wrong. Their tongue's wrong. Their hands are wrong. Their feet are wrong. Their words are wrong. Free Palestine. Oh, the Lord's going to do that. He's going to free Palestine. Amen. He's going to come back, Battle of Armageddon, and he's going to wipe a place clean, get rid of the heathen that are against him then. Bind the devil for 1,000 years, cast the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. And he's still going to rule with a rod of iron because people won't like it. But he's coming back, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But when you're reading these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, think about how all this applies to Israel. I mean, that's great, praise the Lord. Oh, you know, God can heal anything. I mean, there's not a disease known to man that God needs the AMA's help for. Amen? I mean, if they told me tomorrow, and I probably deserve it, and I hope the Lord don't let it go this way, if they told me tomorrow you got this, and you're going to be struggling for 8 years, and you're going to just waste away to nothing. That's their opinion, amen? Praise the Lord. That's from what limited knowledge you have, that's their opinion. I would be looking at this going, all right, Lord, you healed these people. I'm gonna claim it, amen? We're going to go to Benny Hinn's church, and I'm going to claim this, amen? But the truth is, he's talking to the Jews. And I'm not saying he won't heal you. But he worked them Sadducees over. He worked them Pharisees over. He worked the religious leaders over. You know the one he didn't work over? Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him as a ruler of the Jews by night. You know why? Because Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a man come from God. You know why? Because he was seeing the signs as a Jew and as a leader of Israel and recognizing the signs. Paul, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? A Pharisee of the Pharisees. And God put him on his face and changed his vision so he could see things the right way. See, Paul didn't come to him by night saying, Lord, seeking truth. Paul was the best example of opposition that the Lord had, and he took him and used him in the best way that he could be used after his conversion. So I got news for you, good news for you. your wicked self, however wicked it is or was before you got saved, you get right with God, and He could use you just as much for Christ as you were ever used against Him. Amen. Paul wrote 14 books of our New Testament. I believe he wrote Hebrews too. But you know what he was doing before that? He was writing a bloody history of murder and imprisonment against God's people, God's children, Christians. You know why? Because Paul fit right into that Psalm 115. The false gods, the silver, the gold, the bad hands, the bad feet, the bad eyes, the bad vision, the bad breath, bad words. And God healed it all on the road to Damascus. Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but a light come on a while back reading this and thinking, you know what, all these things that he did are connected to the problems he told Israel they had in the Old Testament. Every single thing he did was a sign for the Jews. You realize that Rahab the harlot is in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame of Faith? You know what Israel's done? They've whored around on God. You know what Rahab the harlot preaches to Israel? I can restore you. Amen? He can take a whorish nation that's fallen a Babylonish religion, heal them up, if they'll just get in the Hall of Fame of Faith and put their faith in Him. This is more than just a book for the church. This is a book to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And everything he does has a reason. And almost everything he did on his ministry was pointed to Israel. And thank the Lord that he chose to love Israel so much that he would save you and me to provoke them to jealousy and give us a New Testament that not only opened your eyes and mine, but will open Israel's eyes one day. Could you imagine that? Halfway through the 7 years of time of Jacob's troubles, the 70th week of Daniel. And the devil, just boy, halfway through that thing, it's on. He's after Israel, and Israel's on the run. And the Jews are headed for the hills, trusting God to take care of their water and their needs or whatever. They're not going to take the mark. They're not going to worship the beast. They're going to trust the Lord. And they're going to remember the Old Testament. They're going to, oh, man, I remember God took care of Moses and the children and the children of Israel. I know he took care of Elijah. I know all these things because I've known them books from my youth. I'm just going to head for the hills. I'm going to trust God. And they're going to take care of them. Could you imagine that they just sit on a rock and they look down, there's a Bible. Some Christian got raptured out and dropped his Bible. And they open it up to John chapter number 5 and it says, whoa, he healed that man on the Sabbath in front of the Pharisees. And they flip over to Mark and say, well, he healed that man. He healed this one. He healed that one. And look at what he did. He fixed their eyes. He fixed their... And a light's going to come on. Just like a light come on when I read this a while back. I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing book? Only God could do that. Old man wrote that Bible. Well, you need to get your ears checked, amen? Not the canals, but a light shining all the way through them, amen? Ain't no way God wrote, you know, man wrote that Bible without God. Because God's hand is all over this book. And God's purpose is all over this book. And praise the Lord, I know He died for you and He died for me, but His purpose is to come back and get the honor and glory He deserves on the throne of David by people on this earth that have free will, that will choose to go and bow down to Him, that will choose to keep the feast days and things that He says to do, that will choose to love Him on this earth. He deserves that. And He's going to get it. Amen. Well, they're going to get it. But then they're going to bow down to Him. And the ones that don't will suffer the curses and plagues, famines. And they're going to be on the losing end of this thing at the end battle of Gog and Magog after He releases the devil after a thousand years for a season. They're planning it today. They're planning it today. It won't be the same people, but they're planning it in their hearts. We have got to get rid of that Bible. We've got to get rid of Jesus Christ. We'll take Allah over Him. That's what they say. We'll take Buddha over here. We'll take whatever, anything but Jesus Christ. And at the end of that thousand-year reign, the devil's loose for a season. He'll go around and all those things that have been in the heart of men, they're going to say, this is it. We are getting rid of him. And we're going to get rid of Jerusalem. We're going to wipe this all out. And all the years and years and years of hate and anger and despising the truth, fire comes down from heaven and devours them. That's a lot of wasted effort, isn't it? Be over like that. Be over like that. I believe God still heals. But I believe the reason it's in this book, primarily, is to show Israel he can fix their problems as a nation. Now, these things we can apply to us individually, spiritually and practically, and pray for, and pray for each other. But those things were directed at a nation and the religious leaders of their nation to say, hey, look, wake up. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father. But they're going to work their way to the Father in their opinion. But they're ignoring the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness. And that's the same thing religion's doing today. If we just include everybody and accept everything and have no standards but love from people that don't know what love is. Amen. If we just do that, it'll make God happy. Now, you know what makes God happy? Righteousness and truth and obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. So we're just going to include everything and call it love. And God says, a man loves me, he'll keep my word. A man loves me, keep my commandment. I want to be set apart and different, so I'm just going to accept everything. Show everybody how great I am and how much I love. And God says, come up among them, saith the Lord. Come up among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. He didn't say hate everybody and wish them to go to hell. But he says to stand on truth and righteousness. Amen? Truth is truth no matter who it's aimed at. Right? Truth doesn't change if one of your family members flake out on God. It's still the truth. Truth doesn't change if the one that you voted for got into office. Truth's still truth. Truth doesn't change if the one you voted against got into office. And truth doesn't change if you're out of God's will or if I am. It's still the truth. Amen? And the truth is, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of the Father. It is coming. You know what God wants from us? He wants us to do it now. He wants us to bow to Him every day.